Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. And good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Trent Hart over there in the Porter's Processing Swamp box. And, you know, Trent's internet down there in Anahuac, Texas is not as good as what Porter's Processing is. So all we get to do is look at his live image. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, especially after missing out last week on the 599 Sports Show podcast. Back this week, and we got a noticeable absence with me coming back this week.
Yeah, well, here was the deal, is after y'all's loss 2 weeks ago to Harden, it would have been hard for me to come back on the show as well if I was y'all. But you and Alex both, Alex was supposed to be on the show. He dropped out. You dropped out. Y'all said y'all were sick. So,
did you do the air quotes?
I did.
Air quotes.
Sick. And, but I'll tell you who joined in last week and this week in the comments is Ray Parkinson.
Man, he's giddy after his showing in the Pick'ems this week, isn't he?
Yeah, he did. Sap sucker.
And I guess I would be too after the week of Pick'ems that most people had.
Yeah. Dude, mine was horrible, right? I was absolutely horrible. What was I, 3-4?
You were 3-4. I mean, I had the worst week I've had since week 2.
Yeah. Ray's going to get him some of that Randy's Rubs. He keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It don't suck. Let me tell you about Randy's Rubs real quick. Last night, I told you about it off the air, but I need to tell everybody on the air. Everybody knows that the only thing green kids eat is like boogers, right? I mean, they won't eat Brussels sprouts, green beans, anything like that. So I cooked some big old thick pork chops. Like, they were like, can you see on the screen how thick they were? They were like that. And so I cooked them pork chops, and I did some asparagus, and I made me a big old boat out of tin foil, and I threw some butter with some spirit sprinkles, and this is it. In there on the asparagus, and I wrapped them up and I put them in the oven and let them sit there for about 30 minutes on 400. And I broke them dudes out and I opened it up. They steamed open. Man, they smelled so good. Anyway, I put it on them kiddos' plates. They ate every bit of the asparagus. So that's a testimony of how good that seasoning is over there at Randy's Rubs.
It is. It really is. I mean, I've tried it on quite a few things. I haven't really gotten a barbecue with it yet. It was my easy bake oven. It's kind of on the fritz. Well, but I'm planning on breaking it out. I've got a tenderloin from half a beef that I've been saving for a special occasion. So that might be a good deal for some Randy's Rubs.
Well, it's November, right? It's November. We're on the brink of playoff football. Like, we're almost there. Final week of Texas high school football, week 11 of the regular season. Yeah, we're here. And then we go into the playoffs. So I'm super stoked about this week. Got a fair set of pick'ems, right? Not as good as what they were 2 weeks ago, and probably not as good as what they were this last week. But we got kind of some surprises, not very local games. So I'm excited about that aspect of it in the pick'ems. But I'm really Thursday night game for me and you this week. Matter of fact, every game in our district is on a Thursday night this week. So out of District 10-3,
yes,
everybody plays. Ray just said Alex has an easy bake oven too. Ray, they need to be like us old school guys and cook on the hot wood. Throw some oak, maybe some mesquite in there, a little bit of hickory, and have to slave and monitor that pit. That's a real cooker right there, and I know Ray will agree with me in the comments. But the CEO just come, the real CEO just got up here. So he got him cheese and cracker. So Case, we're live on Facebook. You don't like that? Okay. Well, maybe you ought to go back downstairs then if you don't like it, if you're not going to sit up here. But you got to be quiet if you're going to be in the hot box, okay?
Telling me he can sprinkle some Randy's Rubs on that cheese cracker.
Yeah, put some of that Randy's Rubs on there. We got some good soup down there, don't we, Case? Tell Trent about it in the microphone. He tried it on a cracker, didn't he? He said, put that on a cracker, dude. But now, so I made some potato soup today. It's been in the crock pot since about 1 o'clock, and it's really, really good. So back to the Randy's Rub story. It's really good. randysrubs.com. Go over there and get it. It's worth its weight in gold. And then you can also find it on Amazon as well. So... Case done threw the headphones on and pulled the mic down. He's like, I'm ready. So anyway, but man, the pick'ems this last week, we had some good games in there, and I was just going to kind of go through some of the scores. Had some close games and some not so close games. Summer Creek at Kingwood. Summer Creek gets the win over there. 42-14 was the final in that one. Little Cypress at Huntsville, or excuse me, at Huffman. 43-40 was the final in that game.
Man, that was a fun game to watch at the end too, by the way.
Yes.
I was flipping back and forth. Like I went over to the East Chambers Orangeville game, was watching it for a little while. I was Cold Spring Harden game there with you having the call there, and flipped over to the LCM Huffman game, and Huffman had an opportunity
to
They had the ball and intercepted it on their final drive down, and then LCM, all they had to do was take a couple of knees and seal the deal. But that wasn't the only game that was just super tight until the very end.
No, this next one, Silsbee at Jasper. Silsbee gets the win. Toby and I think you went Jasper as well, didn't you?
I did, and I didn't think that I did at first. I thought I went Silsbee, but then going back and looking at the pick'ems, I took Jasper.
49-47 in a barn burner. Down there in Jasper, that's eight years in a row that Silsbee's won that game over Jasper. Jasper has the overall record. We talked about it last week in the podcast. East Chambers at Orangefield, a game that you was flipping back and forth to. Orangefield wins the district championship in District 10-3A. 41-20 is the final there in that football game. I had East Chambers picked to win that game. I thought they were just a little bit more athletic. But as we went through the district stats and we kind of talked about that, Trent, here before we went on the air, the stats tell it, and that's why Orangefield's in that one seed.
Well, it does. It tells the story. I mean, you look at the overall team stats, you know, they're completely different than what they are when you look at the overall team stats for just district games. And in district games, Orangefield leads in team offense and team defense. And, I mean, you know, that's why they're the district champs.
No, most definitely. Madisonville on the road at Belleville. Belleville gets that win 47-21. The game of the week, Huntsville at Nederland. It was a must-win situation for Huntsville. And they do exactly what they need to do. 44-38 was the final there. And
another close one.
Yeah, another close one. Huntsville gets the win. And a really tight football game. So Huntsville locks their spot in the playoffs. As we go to talking about districts here in a little bit, we'll really break it down. And there's a scenario for Nederland if they want to win the district championship. So we'll talk about that in a little bit more. But a game that I was at, you listened to most of it as I had the call for it. Harden on the road at Cold Spring. 32-14 was the final in that football game. Cold Spring gets the win. And, you know, I went the other way. I thought Harden was going to get the win. And that one, Toby had Cold Spring picked to win, and I think you did as well, Trent. And, you know, the first half, it was a tale of two halves, really and truly. Harden was in the driver's seat through the first half in that football game, and Harden, a really young football team. And I had my good buddy Joey Scheffner up in the up in the press box with me in the Kramer Autoplex broadcast booth. And it was nice having him in there on the call as well, because he knew those Harden kids. He's the house announcer there. And he got to fulfill, you know, kind of a dream of his to do a little bit of radio. And he enjoyed the mess out of it. So it was good having him up there, and just kind of a testimony of what Little League baseball and softball will do, kind of drawing everybody together. So Elmo said Huntsville got their butt kicked. Elmo, you must not be paying attention to the games and the scores, because Huntsville won. So I don't know where you're coming up with got their butts kicked. But 44-38 was the final in that Huntsville game. But more like Cold Spring kicked Harden's butt is what I'm thinking. But in the second half, Cold Spring just kind of put everything together, Trent, and played a really good, flawless second half, and was able to shut that Harden offense out.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there, but I mean, I was obviously listening to y'all call the game, and I was pleased that Cold Spring made the adjustments that they did.
Yeah.
Not only offensively, but defensively, like you just said, to see what they were doing, and pretty much, you know, because Harden they'll run the clock on you. They'll eat up an entire game if you let them. And because they just grind it out 3, 4, 5 yards at a time.
Right.
And Cold Spring was able to just, you know, realize that real quick, and then also, you know, realize that they can pass the ball too at some points.
Right.
Even though, but the key to that game for Cold Spring, I think, was the turnovers. I mean, there was, what, 3 interceptions, I believe.
3 interceptions, and then there, a strip six.
Yes, a strip six, and then there was another turnover as well, if I remember correctly. But no, that was the key to victory for Cold Spring in that football game, I think.
Now, I agree. Elmo, Max Preps is wrong. Check your text messages. No, it was the
Max,
difference.
Max Preps.
And if you go back, and we always talk about it, the turnover battle, it's about winning that turnover battle. And that's what Cold Spring was able to do. They was able to create turnovers. And, you know, 3 of those picks were just bad balls by the quarterback for Harden. So they were just balls that should have never been thrown. They was thrown up, and it was like a center fielder sitting out there just waiting on the ball to come to him. That's what it was. And so that made it very interesting. And Ray's asking on Facebook Live, who got this, Craig Anowak versus Cold Spring? We'll talk about that a little bit later.
We're going to talk about it, baby.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that game a little bit later. So overall, a good game for your Trojans. For the first time in 2 years, locking in a playoff spot. Super excited for the kids and the coaching staff being able to do that and be able to go play into week 12 or the first week of Texas high school football. And it's going to be interesting out of that bi-district round, and we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. But the bi-district round in what the playoffs are going to look like in different scenarios. Nederland has a scenario. District 10-3A has a scenario that has to get played out. So we'll have to look at it and kind of see how it goes. And we'll be able to lay all that out to you, you know, as we progress on through the show. We're going to take a quick break here on the podcast. And when we come back, we're going to start talking about districts here. Start off with 6A and work our way down, all the way down to 2A if we got enough time. So we're going to take a break here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. When we come back, we're going to start breaking down districts.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
And
And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Kurt Irwin, Trent Hart, Toby Tullis is MIA this week. And he didn't pick Jasper, and his dad told him to pick Silsby. Or he picked Jasper, and his dad told him to pick Silsby, and that was one of his misses. So I guess he figured.
Well, it's like the third time that I think Silsby has burned him this year.
It really is. It really is. One way or another, it's burned him. Whether he picked them and they lost, or he went against them and he lost. So, nonetheless, Silsby has Toby's number when it comes to the pick'ems. But Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Randy's Rubs, www.randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all. I promise y'all. Y'all go visit them. We talked about them in the first segment pretty good bit about some cooking that I got going on downstairs and what I did yesterday. Whenever the seasoning is so good, kids will eat asparagus, you know it's good. So, Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. Y'all go see our good friends over there. It's deer season.
Yeah. Deer season started this weekend.
Yeah, I've seen some really good deer on Facebook killed. Bucks. So.
Yeah, I think it was kind of slow over at in my dad's in the Hill Country area, but he was able to come away with him an escapee elk that jumped the fence and happened to run across his path.
Yeah, he went ahead and gave that dude a dirt bath and nap, and he's going to eat good for a while.
Oh, yeah. He said it was around 900 pounds.
Golly, that's a big dude. It's a big dude. Going to be a lot of meat. Are y'all going up to your dad's for Thanksgiving this year?
We're actually going up there for Christmas, so we'll be up there. And he's got a few coming up to the house feeder. I might just pull the gun out so that I can put some meat in my freezer.
There you go. I knew last year. I think it was Thanksgiving. Y'all went up there, and then we ended up meeting up at Guy Stadium and doing a game. So, with that being said, I wasn't sure if y'all were going up there. You know what I mean. So. But nonetheless,
yeah, we swap, so we'll be going up there for Christmas, but still going to be doing playoff games. Hopefully, we'll be calling playoff games around Thanksgiving. So
most definitely,
you know, as always, Anahuac Sports Live, we'll be somewhere for sure.
Yeah, be somewhere. That's for dang sure. I know. I've got at least one playoff game that I got to go to, and that's going to be the Cold Spring game. We're going to talk about that as we're fixing to dive in. Peggy Murray just commented on, she's got her some ordered and can't wait to get it and try it. So Peggy, thank you for supporting who supports us, Randy's Rubs, as they're great folk over there. As Randy was on a show here a month and a half ago, and then showed up at the Bullet Grill. And did a show with us there as well. Trent, we got to get you over to Bullet Grill one night. You know, we got about 2 weeks left at least there at the Bullet. Right. So,
yeah, depending on how things go, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's kick things off here with District 11-2A Division 2.
Yep.
You've got Lovelady in the driver's seat. They've locked their spots in. They're going to be the district champions most likely. They play Grapeland this week, who sits at 4-1 in district, along with Overton, who's also 4-1 in district. Alto is 2-3. Mount Enterprise 2-3. So then you've got Tenaha at 1-5 and Cushing at 1-5.
So this district, the four seed's going to get decided this week between Alto and Mount Enterprise, right? They're both 2-3, and they have each other this week. But Overton has Cushing, and then obviously Lovelady and Grapeland. Grapeland's 4-1 right now.
Right.
So
they could steal it from Lovelady. It's a possibility. It was a consideration in our pick'ems.
It was, and so as I look back, Grapeland lost to Overton 41-36, and Lovelady beat Overton 41-21. So there's going to be a point differential. I believe it's going to play into a factor. If Grapeland was to beat Lovelady, if they're going to have to beat them by X amount of points in order to take that number one spot from Lovelady. Not sure how their tiebreakers work, but if it's just straight a head-to-head or if there's going to be a point differential that goes in there as well.
Right. And if Grapelin drops to Lovelady this week, then Overton all of a sudden gets in at the number two seed.
Right. And Grapelin will drop to three. So still kind of a lot there to kind of decipher, right, as this district looks to wrap up. Let's look at the next one.
Yeah, 12, District 12, 2A, Division 2. That's, you got Deweyville, who's locked their playoff spot and the district championship. They're 6-0 in district, 9-1 overall. West Sabine has also clinched their playoff spot. They're 4-1, 6-3 overall. Then you got Sabine Pass, who is 3-2 in district. West Hardin is 2-3. Evadale, 2-3. Thomas Neal, 1-4, and Hull DeZetta at 0-5. This week, Evadale is at Hull DeZetta. Sabine Pass is at West Sabine, and West Hardin is at Comus Neal, so Deweyville getting the bye.
Deweyville has the bye. They're locked in 6-0 in district, 9-1 overall record for Deweyville. Look for them to make a big playoff run this year. West Sabine, 4-1, 6-3 overall, as they have Sabine Pass. They're a lot to be said right there with these two teams playing. Could be a 2-3 switcheroo. I don't see it. I think West Sabine's going to win that football game.
Most likely, yeah.
Over Sabine Pass. And then Evadale having Hull DeZetta, they should win that football game and lock in that 4 seed out of this district and move on to the first round or the bi-district round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, with West Hardin having Comus Neal, I mean, that's going to be interesting right there, right? I mean, you said that Evadale might lock in that third spot, but West Hardin is playing Comus Neal. That you can expect them to get that game. They'll go 3-3. Evadale playing Hull DeZetta, you can expect them to get to that game. Will be 3-3. What was the head-to-head between Evadale and West Hardin?
West Hardin, Evadale wins that one 45-38.
Okay, so Evadale would win the head-to-head and lock that fourth spot.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's the fun part of looking at these districts and how they play out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The next one is 12-3A, Division 2, district that we were all about Woodville winning this district this year, and Newton said, no, not today.
No.
Not today. Newton is the district champion. They're ranked 7th. They're 6-0 in district, 7-3 overall. Woodville's next at 4-1. They've locked in their playoff spot. Anderson Shiro, 3-2. They've locked in their playoff spot. Now it's down on that 4 seed where you've got New Waverly at 2-3, Koontz at 2-3. Then you got Trinity, 1-4, and Warren at 0-5. So New Waverly and Koontz is the big ones there. Koontz is at Woodville. And then Warren and Anderson Shiro, Trinity at New Waverly.
Yes, so here's the interesting deal is New Waverly beat Koontz.
Yep.
To put them to that 2-3, and then New Waverly has Trinity this week. Now, Koontz beat Trinity 49-12. You would almost assume that New Waverly is going to win this game against Trinity. Trinity's 1-4 on the season. Their only win in district was against Warren. So you kind of expect New Waverly to get the win here, but yet the storyline for Trinity here having the best season they've had in a number of years is they're 4-4 right now with an overall record. That's the storyline for Trinity right now. It's going to be interesting to see how this game plays out, but New Waverly gets the win. They're going to slip into that 4 seed in this district.
Yeah, and I would fully expect them to do so. Moving on, 10-3A Division 1.
Huh. Gosh.
10-3A Division 1.
We've beat this Orangefield district down.
Is the district champion, as we talked about earlier. They're 5-0 in district, 7-2 overall. East Chambers has clinched their playoff spot, but there's some interesting things that are going to go on here. They're 4-2, 6-3 overall. Anahuac, 3-2 in district, 6-3 overall. Old Spring, 3-2, 6-3 overall. Hardin is 2-3, 6-3 overall. Then you've got Kirbyville at 1-4 and Buna at 0-5. So
here's the skinny. If you were to honestly, if today was the last day of district, no more games to be played, Anahuac would not make the playoffs. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. If Anahuac didn't have a bye and didn't have a, if they were actually on a bye this week, they'd be done, right? So yeah. here's your scenarios. No matter what happens, Orangefield's the district champ. They've got Buna this week. They honestly don't even have to play that game, right? They could probably play their twos and threes and be perfectly fine. I would be very surprised if their number ones play the after the first half of football. Then you've got Cold Spring at Anahuac, Kirbyville at Hardin. Now here's what can happen. The first scenario is this: Anahuac could be the two seed if they end up beating Cold Spring.
Yep.
Which means that East Chambers would finish third seed and Cold Spring would finish four seed.
And
as mentioned,
Hardin.
Cold Spring, no matter what happens in this game, Cold Spring has locked in and clinched their playoff spot.
Yeah.
The other scenario: Anahuac is out with a loss to Cold Spring and a Hardin win over Kirbyville, which would put East Chambers at number two, Cold Spring at number three, and Hardin at number four. The only way that Anahuac gets the four seed is with a loss to Cold Spring and a Hardin loss to Kirbyville, which would put East Chambers two, Cold Spring three, and Anahuac four. So some different things can happen here. But if you look at that Kirbyville game, we don't think that Hardin's going to drop to Kirbyville.
No, just by what I've seen from Hardin this last week and what video I've seen, I don't see Kirbyville getting that win at all. On top of that, it's a home game for Hardin. And obviously they play at a different level when they're at home.
Right, they're senior night, and they do play at a different level when they're home. So it all comes down to this Anahuac-Cold Spring game.
No, it does. I'm
looking forward to this game.
We've been looking forward to this game for some time, right?
Since the realignment.
Yeah, since the realignment came out, we've been looking forward to this game and wasn't quite sure how this – we originally thought this district, the way it was going to play out was Anahuac was going to be in the one seed, and I think I probably had Orangefield, East Chambers, Cold Spring in the four seed. And then as we progressed on and we kind of talked about Hardin a little bit, and then boom, next thing we know, Hardin's deep in the mix, and that's where they're at. So – had somebody comment in on the 590N Sports on the chat here for the deal for the on Facebook, and they say if it's Cold Spring versus Dieball, so in other words, saying Cold Spring ends up in the three seed and they play Dieball, that game will probably be played in Woodville, and if it's Westwood and Cold Spring, if Cold Spring ends up in the four seed, then that game will probably get played in Huntsville. So in the first round of the playoffs, which Huntsville, I feel like that Dieball game ought to be in Huntsville. Dieball, Cold Spring in Huntsville, that'd be a pretty good game. I'd rather it be there than I have Woodville, personally. So
I honestly don't even want to speculate with I mean, a lot of things. And for one, Anahuac's back is against the wall.
Most definitely.
They're in a must-win situation regardless of how Hardin does.
Right.
You don't want to put your fate in a Hardin loss. So you either win this football game and you're in, whether it's the two seed or not.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be airing up basketballs.
Right. Most definitely.
So it's you look back at this season, and when we were doing all district picks and the high expectations of this Anahuac team, they're banged up, and we're just going to be looking back on it, and especially this football game, on whether or not they're going to be able to rise above the pressure,
right,
and make that push toward playoffs or not. And Cold Spring's a very good football team. I mean, I'm not trying to sugarcoat that, because they've got a good running game, and their defense showed last week that they can make adjustments and create some turnovers. So it's it all comes down to this final week, which I love. I love it coming down to one game. It adds to more to the drama.
Yeah, it puts their backs against the wall, makes these kids really, and the coaches really get out there and coach and show that you want it. Let's jump over into 9-3A Division I. You got Westwood 4-0, Dieball 3-1, Fairfield 2-2, Teague 2-2, Crockett 1-3, Huntington 0-4. Westwood has Huntington this week. No brainer right there. Crockett has Fairfield, and I think that's a game that Fairfield's going to win. Teague at Dieball, this game here, I'm not 1,000% on.
Not either.
On which way this game's going to go. So I'm very curious. This game's really, I'm really vested mentally into this game on how that's going to go. And then, with that die ball and tee game, I'm not quite sure. I'm looking forward to it and, really watching the scores and seeing how that game progresses. And I know I'll get some messaging afterwards and, about that game, but, I'm just really, really interested in, this die ball tee game. And, we could break
just to, die ball beating Fairfield and Teague losing to Fairfield. I mean, that kind of tells you what might happen here.
Right? Yeah. So interesting comment, Dustin McDaniel on the Facebook says, must win situation, but they didn't practice all week is what he was told. Sounds like the coaches have already given up. I don't know. I can't speak on that, Dustin, as I'm not down there.
I can't either.
Find that kind of hard to believe. I know when Cold Spring was on their bye week, we had the county fair going on, and the practices were light and cut short because you had kids showing animals. But as far as down there in Anahuac, I can't see that, but I know me as a coach that we would definitely be watching film and doing some walkthroughs. But yet it's also a much needed week where to get Brady Barrier healthy as a quarterback.
I mean, not only Brady, there's multiples, multiple kids that needed a rest week to heal up.
Most definitely. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to go through 4A and up and go through those districts and kind of who's in and who's not and what the scenarios are. We'll talk about that and some more here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We're going to take a break. Be back right after this.
From custom processing, professional guide and hunts, high tanning and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Porter's Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to PortersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.
And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box, Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing swamp box, and a familiar name just come in the chat, Trent, and on Facebook, and it's a Julie Tullis. Do you know any Tullises?
I mean, I know the no-show Toby.
Yeah, I know no-show Toby as well, and I can't believe that his wife is commenting in here wanting, and she's vested. I know she is, and she listens to the podcast a lot, and going to taking Haley to cheerleading competition cheer and everything else, and I'm sure when she's going to the football games, because she opts not to ride with Toby and I to the football games, but
I wouldn't want to either.
But her question is, back down in District 9-3A Division 1, if Teague beats Dieball, who gets second in that district? So you have to go back, and we got to look at what Teague did against Fairfield, right?
Yeah, Teague lost to Fairfield 43-50.
Yes.
And then they lost to Palestine Westwood.
But
Fairfield
loses to Dieball 34-14. Correct. So, Caleb, I know you're still watching over there. Give us the breakdown on that so we have a full understanding. I know what he's going to say.
Dieball drops,
Dieball's not losing to Teague, but you never know.
Yeah, so if Dieball drops to Teague, they go to 3-2. Fairfield would have to beat Crockett. They go to 3-2. Then Teague would also go 3-2.
Correct.
So then there you got a three-way tie. So then it comes to head-to-heads, which they've all beat each other at that point, right, hypothetically.
Right. Does it come to a coin toss?
Then you're going to point differentials, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to do the math on that.
I don't have time to do the math, nor a calculator sitting here close enough to it. I mean, Julie has not been in the hot box, so she don't know how it's set up. But I don't have a full office set up in here. So, but Julie, that is a great question, and we will let you know. We'll send you a message back on the 590 Sports page when we get all of this figured out, and we'll let you know. We appreciate the question, though, Julie. So, because I know that that's who's watching and wanting to learn, so of what's going on. So, where are we going next? We're going 4A Division Two, which is going to be that
9-4A Division Two, and this is Murderers Row District that we've talked so much about, so you know, since the beginning of the year. Number eight, West Orange Stark.
Hang on. Caleb just commented, Teague will get the two spot if they beat Dieball.
Right.
I knew that he would
take his word for it.
I knew. Well, yeah, I'm going to take his word too. I knew that he would know, because he's a Dieball faithful. So I knew that, and I knew he was listening. So I knew he'd be able to get me that answer quicker than what I could pull it up. But this is one of three districts that are in our area that you would call a murderer's row. This district here, the PNG district.
Yeah.
The North Shore district, as well as, I mean, you even think about it, you think about the Lufkin district as well.
Sure.
So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. If that's correct, that's interesting to know.
Yeah. And that's some weird stuff.
Because we're going to be asking all those questions come this time next week and trying to put this bracket together.
Right. And I've had some other information that was fed to me. Some more stuff may be coming around about Palestine Westwood. So we'll have to wait and see what's going on there.
Some juice.
Yes. Back here, 4A, so, District 9, 4A, yeah. Division 2.
9-4A, you've got West Orange Stark and Hampshire Finette. They have clinched their playoff spot. They're 8-1, both 8-1 overall. They're both 4-0 in district, and they both play each other this coming week.
You can't get
better than that.
No, you can't. Not at all.
Then you've got Silsby at 2-2, 6-3 overall. Gepard is at 1-3, 3-6 overall. Jasper's 1-3, 3-6 overall.
So here's the deal. Tarkington's
0-4, and they're 1-8 overall.
This district, who would ever thought that Jasper and Shepherd would have the same record overall? Yeah. 1-3, 3-6.
Yeah, but Shepherd has Silsby, or yep, at Silsby this week. Jasper is at Tarkington. So if you had to guess that Shepherd's going to drop that one, Jasper should win against Tarkington.
Yep.
Jasper will lock in the 4 seed, right?
Right.
And Silsby will be the 3 seed. The only thing up for question is the district championship game between West Orange Stark and Hampshire Finette.
And after much debate, I will be, the 590 sports crew will be at the Hampshire Finette West Orange game.
Yeah, I'll probably end up going to that game. Well, it depends on what happens in volleyball.
Yeah.
If I got a bi-district game that I'm covering for the Anahuac Lady Panthers this Tuesday at Caney Creek, they'll be playing Dieball. If they win that game, then they'll be playing the following Friday, possibly.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there.
Definitely going to be interesting. Definitely going to be interesting. Dustin did comment. He was out of town all week, but he got a call said they weren't going to practice all week. And I agree with you, Dustin. Taking advantage of a bye week out of that district, you need to, especially when your back's against the wall, you need to have all hands on deck and have them ready, and build a game plan. So, and they have, here's the deal, going back to the Anahuac deal, they have a quarterback. They just need to take him from that wide receiver position and put him in there. Would you agree, Trent?
Yeah. I mean, if Brady can't go or couldn't go for whatever reason, there's in our heads, right? And we're lazy boy quarterbacks, right? We're just Monday morning quarterbacks and armchair quarterbacks, and we're just throwing out things. But in our minds, when you're looking at it and you think, okay, well, we have a guy that played quarterback for us last week that plays wide receiver now. Why not let him take the reins for a week or two and let your number one heal up?
And he also commented in there, need to find a replacement running back, you know, with the injuries y'all got in that position as well.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up, but yes. So,
yeah.
Yes, there's we're pretty banged up.
Yep, Anowak is banged up. We're going to talk about that a little bit more when we get down into the pick'ems. But are we done over here at District 9 4A Division 2? Kind of the playoffs, the scenario.
Yeah, 10-4A is next.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of broke up a little bit. The audio, the internet kind of lagged.
Yeah, it's lagging a little bit. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, 10-4A Division 1. LCM. With a big win this last week over Huffman. They are in the driver's seat. They 8-1 overall. Bridge City 5-1, 8-1 overall. They have both clinched their playoff spots. Then you've got Vider at 3-3, Lumberton at 3-3, HJ at 1-5, Liberty at 1-5, and Livingston at 0-6, 0-9 overall for Livingston.
Yeah, they're hunting a new coach over there. They've already put a committee together in Livingston to start looking in. Coach Vanover, really like Vanover a lot. Super good dude. Really good interview. Really old school. So kind of. Really shocked that they're where they're at after watching them last year, but they made the playoffs. They were like 2-8 last year, made the playoffs. But in this district here, you got LCM has Lumberton this week, and Lumberton is 3-3 overall, and or 3-3 in district. Bridge City and Huffman, that's the big game out of this district that we're kind of looking at to see who's going to go where. As LCM has beat both of these, so they're playing for the two spot, and then Lumberton's probably going to lose against Little Cypress this week. Vider should beat Livingston. And honestly, what's going to happen here is you'd have to look at the head-to-head, but I don't think it's going to matter. Vider's going to go into that four seed as they beat Lumberton 34-28. So Vider gets the win this week over Livingston. Vider's going to go into the four seed of that district. And this district is pretty much set, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, set outside of the Huffman Bridge City game
right
this week, which is a game that we've also been looking forward to this year.
No, it has, and we weren't really expecting LCM to come in here and kind of take the reins out of that deal, but they did. And so that makes it kind of interesting. And LCM's won the games that they were supposed to win, and that was against Bridge City. I guarantee you, if I was to put that game, I got Huffman winning that game, and I know Brian Best would pick the same way. Huffman was a young team last year, a lot of juniors this year, so it's going to be interesting to see how they do.
Definitely so. Now, District 8, 5A Division 2. This is Nederland currently sitting in the one seed spot with their win over PNG, even with their loss this week to Huntsville. Right?
They're still lost.
So yeah. They're in the conversation. So they're 5-1, 7-2 overall. Fort Natchez Groves is 5-1, 8-1 overall. Those two have clinched the playoff spot. Here's where it gets crazy. Montgomery is sitting at 4-2. Huntsville sitting at 4-2. Lake Creek is 3-3. Dayton is 2-4. West Fork 1-5. Splendora 0-6. West Fork is at Lake Creek.
Yep.
PNG is at Dayton. That's probably a win for PNG. Splendora at Huntsville. That's a win for Huntsville. Nederland at Montgomery is the biggest game in that district this week.
So the scenario is Nederland wins this game, they get the one seed. If they lose this game, they get the three seed. So, and then PNG would get the one seed with the win over Dayton. Huntsville will get two. Nederland will drop to three. And Montgomery will get the three, and Nederland will drop to the four. So one game and you're going from one seed to four seed. That's how big this is. Huntsville took care of business last week and got the win over Nederland and to lock their playoff spot. But who would have thought this district would have come down to this and the difference in one game being one seed or a four seed?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same to be said for that Anahuac-Cold Spring game, right? I mean, Anahuac wins, they get a two seed. If they lose, they're probably out. If Cold Spring pulls off a win, that's a difference between a three seed and a four seed, and the difference between playing a very good Westwood team in the first round.
Right.
So, kind of a similar scenario. But moving on to 9-5A Division One, you've got Lufkin, Galveston, Ball, and Port Arthur Memorial all have clinched their playoff spots. Right now, Lufkin is at 5-0, Galveston Ball 4-1, Port Arthur at 4-2. Then you got Barbers Hill at 3-2, Westbrook at 2-3, Beaumont United and Baytown Sterling are both 0-5. Westbrook is at Barbers Hill, Baytown Sterling is at Beaumont United, so something's got to give over there. And then you got Lufkin at Galveston Ball.
So that's the big game out of this district, Lufkin and Galveston Ball. Who's going to get the one seed out of this district? And Galveston Ball with their one loss against Barbers Hill, and that was a home game for Galveston Ball. So this week, Lufkin is going from Lufkin all the way down to Galveston, long drive down 59 to 45 to get down there and play that football game. So the Golden Tornadoes are going to have their hands full with the Lufkin Panthers this week. Game we'll talk about more a little bit later on. Barbers Hill should beat Beaumont Westbrook. And should lock their playoff spot in. So it's going to be interesting to see how this district plays out.
No, it definitely is. And like I said, we're going to talk about that in a little bit here in a little while. Looking at the 6A, let me scroll down to it.
Let's go to the Woodlands district first. If Woodlands, you don't mind, 13-6A. Okay. I got it pulled up. Willis in the driver's seat. Go ahead. 8-0. They got a bye week this week. They're perfect on the season, 10-0. The Woodlands 6-1. They have Conroe Oak Ridge. Conroe 5-2 with their loss to the Woodlands this last week. They ought to put 70 up on Cleveland and once again. The Woodlands College Park, they're 4-3. They have New Caney. Then you have the Grand Oak Grizzlies who are 3-4. They got Caney Creek. Yes, Caney Creek. Oak Ridge has the Woodlands, and so then you got Oak Ridge 3-4, Caney Creek 2-5, New Caney 1-6, Cleveland 0-7. So as this district breaks up, I want to bring this up. 4 out of the 9 games that Cleveland's played, they've had 70 or more put up against them. One game, the Grand Oaks put 68 up against them. Oak Ridge put 51 up against Cleveland. And then New Caney beat Cleveland this last week, 47-14. So this district's pretty much locked in where it's at.
Yeah, it's locked in. It is. It's going to go Willis, the Woodlands, Conroe, and then College Park.
Right, most definitely. So that's the way this district's going to match up. Square up, and just remember that this district is in Region 3, but yet the next district that we're going to talk about, which is North Shore, they're in Region 2 with how everything kind of plays out in the way they drew the lines. But North Shore 6-0, they're locked their spot in. They got Summer Creek this week. Atascocita 5-1, Summer Creek 5-1. Kingwood 3-3, Humble 2-4, CE King 2-4, Channelview 1-5, Goose Creek Memorial 0-6, 0-9 overall. So North Shore's in the driver's seat. They got Summer Creek this week, game that North Shore's probably going to win.
Probably, but they don't want to go to sleep on Summer Creek.
No, definitely not going to go to sleep against them. I think your North Shore's going to play their ones three quarters and then possibly try to stretch the lead out, but this is a game that Summer Creek could possibly win. Not in the pick'ems this week, but definitely a good football game. Yeah. Kingwood, they should beat Humble. Humble's 2-4, 5-4 overall. Kingwood is 3-3, 5-4. So really and truly, they're playing for that four spot. This game here is, and it's going to be a matter of a head-to-head deal between Humble and Kingwood to see how this game and how this district plays out. Plays out in that, you know, in that district. So that's a rundown. Dude, we went through two segments, like 45 minutes or 35 minutes, and we got through all the districts that are close to our area and talking about.
Oh, that's what happens when you don't have so much hot air across from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taking up all the time.
Most definitely. That's the truth. So not having TT in the hot box. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to run down the pick'ems. So you're listening to the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this. Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com. And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swap Box. And appreciate everybody tuning in, even our Facebook Livers as they chiming in. And we're getting here to the final segment of the show this week. And I'd like to thank everybody who's followed us on the 599 Sports page. They're on Facebook on the live. And they had some good conversation, good talking points over there. Appreciate those guys that are tuning in. Don't forget to go back and re-listen to the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, all of those good, you know, wherever you're listening at. And you also find us at TexasPodcastMedia.com. And speaking of, got a guy coming in tomorrow, do his third show with Texas Podcast Media. So looking forward to that, the Corbin McCarty Show. Talking local politics in small town East Texas. So y'all get over there.
And an election coming up Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, get out and vote this week and do your civic duties. If you're not going to vote, I don't want to hear you bitching. I just put it plain and simple. So anyway, pray about it. I mean, whistleblowers got to pray on his pick'ems a little bit more than what he's been doing. Needs to be a little bit more focused in Texas high school football. And instead of working as much as he says he's working. So, I mean, if you're going to chime in on these pick'ems, you got to be studied up. So, and let's talk about
it. It was a rough week in some pick'ems.
Yeah.
But, you know, shout out to Ray Parkinson going 7-0. The only person to go 7-0 this week, actually the only person to go 7-0 since week 8. You know, week 9 was kind of a rough week for some people. Had some 6-1s here and there, but no, Parkinson going 7-0, that moved him up considerably. So as it stands right now, Cullen Till leads it. He's got a record of 51-18, 110-point differential. Followed up by myself, I'm also 51-18, 115-point differential. So only 5 points separates myself and Cullen Till from that number one spot. But like I mentioned, Ray Parkinson moving way up with his 7-0 run this week. He is also at 51-18, 203-points differential. Then you got Ashley Elam in fourth, Cindy Delao in fifth. Landon Corbett is in sixth. Dustin McDaniel is in seventh. He was on the chat earlier. John Whitehead is in eighth. Josh Provost in ninth. Terry Mills is in 10th. Chase Burnett, 11th. And I had to go to 12 because that's where good old Craig Irwin sits.
I'm in 12th.
You are in 12th. 46-23 with a 191-point differential.
Wow.
Yeah, those 4-3s hurt.
They do.
They hurt you.
They do, but and that was a hard week of pick'ems, really and truly, for me. It, obviously, for Ray, it wasn't. But, I mean, you had some games that could have went either way. The East Chambers, Orangefield, I really thought it could have went either way. Wasn't expecting it to go the way it did. I mean, you look at the Jasper-Silsby game. It was a two-point game. LCM Huffman, that was a three-point game. And, you know, I had Summer Creek picked, but the LCM Huffman game, like I say, two of the games that I got wrong could have went either way, and they were very tight games in one like that. But a little upset that I lost the Orangefield East Chambers. The Hardin-Cold Spring game I felt like could have went either way, and in that game you talk about field conditions as well, and the field was very subpar after having four games Thursday night on that field, 7th grade and 8th grade A and B teams playing. That field just took a beating with the rain that we had gotten Thursday during the day, and so that kind of plays a factor into everything. But nonetheless, I win the Madisonville-Belleville game, and I picked Belleville in that, and then got Huntsville picked over Nederland. So it's what it is. We're getting into week 11 in a great group of games, and we're going to start it off kind of out of the area, but in the area, playoff implications. We didn't talk. I need to pull my other screen back up, and because I want to be able to give people some records, right? Yeah, we're going in with these pick'ems. I want
to
be
just to be clear. We're for this last week of pick'ems. We're kind of skewing away from the norm a little bit to try and make definitive top three for our winners.
Yes,
right. And particularly, they're trying. What Craig is really trying to do, without really saying it, he's trying to knock me out of the top three.
1,000%. 1,000%. And I will not hide that one whatsoever. But our first game, both of these teams are fighting for the four seed out of their district. This is out of a District 11 4A Division 2. Sealy on the road at LaGrange. Both teams 2-2 on the season. Both teams 6-3 overall.
Both district losses coming to Madisonville and Belleville.
Yes. So Sealy drops to Belleville 35-28. They drop to Madisonville 38-14. Where you look at LaGrange drops to Madisonville 56-42 and Belleville 63-20. I'll go first.
Go first, because I'm looking at this computer projection and it's like, what?
Yeah. They got Sealy plus 27. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. And I was locked in where I was going to go before I looked at that.
Yeah, I'm staying with that direction. I'm going with LaGrange in this one, and I think it's going to be a good football game. Nice little stadium over there in LaGrange. Got to visit it the other day, and I'm going LaGrange.
I'm going to go with what my first inclination was LaGrange also, and I'm just looking at scores, right? And you're doing the same thing,
right?
You're looking at those two losses to Madisonville and Belleville, but I'm also looking at the Caldwell game, you know, where LaGrange won 52-35, Sealy won 43-14. So that really, it's not a huge difference, but still, the Giddings game, LaGrange beat them 63-7. Sealy beat them 34-13. You got to go with the ZZ Top song here and go with LaGrange.
Yeah. Roll with it. This next one. Lufkin on the road at Galveston Ball.
I know where you're going with it. Lufkin. But I'm going to go first. I'm going to go first
Lufkin's
here because
5-0. Galveston Ball 4-1. Trent, you had Galveston Ball picked to win this district.
I did.
So, you're going to go first.
I am going to go first, and I'm going to stick with what I said about Galveston Ball. They're playing at home. It is a long road trip for Lufkin. Not saying that Lufkin isn't a good team, because they are. But I'm going to stick with my district pick. I've been on that Galveston ball train all year long, and I'm not going to get off of it now. I think it was a surprise loss to Barbers Hill. So I'm going Galveston ball.
Okay. I'm going. So here's the deal. Lufkin has been screwed for a number of years.
On their travel. Yes.
On their travel. So I don't think the travel is going to affect Lufkin one bit. That's a short road trip to Galveston compared to what they've been doing, going up to Dallas. I'm going Lufkin in this one, and Lufkin winning the district championship and going to have a nice little playoff run up ahead of them.
I knew that's where you were going to go.
So here's one. Here's another one out of the loop, out of the rim, kind of out of our area, but definitely worth putting in here, as both teams are undefeated in district play. Malakoff on the road at Winsboro. Both teams 5-0. Winsboro 8-1 overall record. Malakoff 9-0. Winsboro's one loss was to Tatum, a 29-14 game.
Tatum's a good team.
Yeah. So both of these teams, we put this in here for our good friend Sleepy Joe. You go back and you look at Malakoff's record, and you look at some of the teams. They beat West Russ 49-0, Lorena 34-14. One of the games that stand out to me is the Madisonville game. It was 29-28. They got the win there. Grandview was 42-14. And then as you get into district, they're just shutting people out defensively. Mount Vernon 70-0, Emory Rains 56-0. Eustis 77-0, Mineola 47-10, Commerce 58-6. Those are the district games for Malakoff, right? Then you look at Winsboro's games. Now, let's remember the Canton game never got played. It got canceled because of the rain. They lose to Tatum 29-14. They beat Redwater 44-6, Honey Grove 49-21. Hooks 47-33, Commerce 48-7, Mineola 70-0, Eustis 70-0, Emory Rain 70-14, and Mount Vernon 62-0. I'll start this off. I'm going to make Joe happy. I'm going with Winsboro.
Okay. Well, I mean, looking at their schedules, Winsboro, in my mind, really hasn't been challenged outside of that Tatum game. I mean, you can look at that Hooks game and two touchdown win game for Winsboro. And then, I mean, it's off to the races after that. I mean, they're putting up almost 50 points and then 70 points averaging, you know, once they get into district high 60s, maybe. Look at Malakoff, a storied program, you know, a ranked team, number one in the state, I believe, at one time, in 3A Division One. I think with that Columbus loss, they went back number one, if I remember correctly. So
I lost you.
The computer projection, you probably didn't get any of that.
I'm looking at it. They got Mineola winning this one by 17.
Yeah, Malakoff win by 17.
Malakoff, yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm going Malakoff.
Going the other way, going with Malakoff. Joe Grimes is going to be completely upset with you. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, one of the big things that stood out to me as I looked at it is I looked at one, the I believe it was the Eustis game. It was the Mineola game.
Yeah, 47-10, and then 70-0.
Yeah.
You got to think that Malakoff was playing probably their twos and threes in the second half on that game.
No, and you possibly do, right? So, like I say, that's why I went with that direction, And that was the sole reason. I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams. Dieball on the road at Teague. This what? Is for the two spot.
Okay.
You think you know where I'm going overall. And here's the deal, guys, is what since I finished out of the three of us, me, Trent, and Toby, I get to pick the game of the week. But there's some really good games that we still haven't got to. And Trent thinks he knows where I'm going with on the game of the week. Dieball 3-1. Teague 2-2 in district. This is for the two spot. Game is at Teague. Trent, I'm going to let you start it off.
Well, I'm looking. You've got to look at the Fairfield game, right?
Right.
Dieball goes on the road, wins at Fairfield 34-14.
Yep.
Where Teague also had to go to Fairfield, and it was a shootout, losing to Fairfield 43-50, so by a touchdown.
Right.
So
let's remember that Teague Fairfield game. There was a lot of extracurricular that went on there. That
a lot of distraction.
Yeah.
Look at their Crockett scores, 57-19. Teague won that. 28-0. Dieball won that one. So Teague kind of beat them handedly. Huntington, I'm not even going to look at. You look at the Palestine-Westwood score, 13-41. Dieball drops that one to Palestine-Westwood. Teague played them a little bit tighter, 36-42, losing to Palestine-Westwood. Honestly, this game could go either way.
No, it could. It really could.
So, but I'm gonna go off of that Fairfield game, and I'm gonna say that Dieball comes out with the win here.
All right. So, man, this is a hard game for me because Dieball hasn't been the Dieball that I'm used to seeing, and I know they've been kind of injury prone and stuff, and this year had some kids out. Few other things, and it makes it really hard. It's hard for me to pick against Blake Morrison, and I just, this is really hard. I'm literally, I think I'm going to flip a coin or snuff can heads and tails because I just don't know, and it come up tails. So
we never did say who tails was.
Oh, well, all right, let's redo it. Heads is Dieball, tails is Teague. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going Dieball. I think this is going to be a really tight game and probably should be the game of the week to where we have to pick a score in this one, but I think this is going to be a really tight football game, but I'm going to go with Dieball. Oh, Ricky Honia, I'm sorry if I butchered that last name. He's got Teague by 14 is what he's saying. Okay. So I think
the computer projections have got Teague by 4.
Right.
Currently.
Very interesting. Nederland on the road at Montgomery. We talked about this. And how Nederland, this is a must-win game for Nederland to win the one seed, right? They're in the playoffs no matter what. But very, very big game here. You take the district records and who's done what against who in this district. I don't care what you say. In this district, you take all of that and you throw it completely out the window. Would you concur?
I don't know if you throw it out the window.
I mean, it's crazy. You got Nederland that's sitting in the one spot right now going into this week, right? They lose to Huntsville this last week, but Huntsville loses by 3 to PNG, right? They lose to Lake Creek. It was a must-win situation for Huntsville as they went into Nederland this last week. So, I mean, it's just, it's so crazy the way this district has been in the top four or five teams.
Oh, yeah. So back and forth and just not knowing what, yeah, which way it's going to go and how tight the games have been played. Man, I mean, I got burnt. You know, I picked Nederland to win this last week.
Yeah,
I got on that bandwagon. So I'm going to stay there. I think Nederland pulls this one out.
Nederland's going to pull it out and win the district championship.
What I'm saying.
It's really hard, this pick is, knowing the caliber of football team Nederland is down there in the 409 and making the trip over there to the 281.
Running back is special.
Yeah. So I look at this and here's the deal is Montgomery played PNG very tight. 37-31 game last week. Almost beat them. They lose to Huntsville 33-18. Nederland loses 38-44. They beat PNG 24-21. I'm going to go Nederland as well. I think this game could go either way. It's going to be a good one. And I really do. It's hard for me to say that about Montgomery, but my cousin lives down there in Montgomery, lives over there in Montgomery. His son actually is a junior and opted out of playing football this year. He's playing basketball, kind of messed his back up a little bit last year. And I was talking to him today and they're going to have it. They got their basketball team's pretty special. So I'm going to go catch some of Montgomery's basketball games. But very, very interesting over there in Montgomery and not an area that we really follow up until this year or we really stay in tuned with. So I got a lot of interest in this game. And game will be Friday night, so I'll be able to really watch scores because I will be at the Westmore Star Campshire Finette game this week, and that's the next game we're going to go to. This is for the district championship.
Sandbagging sucker. I mean, okay. Go ahead.
So, Hampshire Finette hosting Westmore Start. Both teams 4-0, 8-1 overall with their records. Westmore Start played a really big game a couple weeks ago against Silsby and shut Silsby out. This game's on the road at Hampshire Finette. Hampshire Finette's been playing really good football. If you look at their one loss, it was to a really, really good Hitchcock team, and that was a 71-48 final. West Orange Start, their one loss was to Nederland, who we just talked about. That was a 14-13 football game. I wish that Hampshire Finette would have played Nederland because that would have been a good comparison, in my opinion.
Yeah, it would have.
As much as I want to say Hampshire Finette's going to win this football game, I'm going with Westmore Start winning their first district title in a number of years.
Oh, I mean, as much as I want to go Westmore Start with as they've been playing time stick district picks, and I'm going to go with Hampshire Finette. This is another game that's just going to be super tight, and it's going to be – it's you could flip the snuff can again if you wanted to.
Yeah, no, most definitely you could. It's going to be a fun game. We're going to be there Friday night, probably going to do a Facebook Live while we're there. I don't know the extent of how we're going to do that. May set up in an end zone and do a Facebook Live at each quarter or something. We'll figure it out. We're going to talk about it this week and see what we can do, but we're going to really highlight this game. Really probably ought to be the game of the week, but I couldn't let that game be the game of the week due to the level of this next game.
I'm laughing because we're going to get the whole, I mean, we're so biased, Craig. God.
Yeah.
So biased.
We are. And you know what? Call us what you want, but this is a win in your end situation for one of the teams. And it's Cold Spring on the road at Anahuac. Thursday night football game. And very odd night for us, but I will be in Anahuac Thursday night along with Trent Hart and Anahuac Sports Live. Looking forward to this football game. We've been looking forward to it all year long. This game here's one of those, like I say, it's huge. You can't really go off of what each other's done in the district, just off of the last 2 weeks. You know,
because it's just been craziness.
Yeah. Anahuac loses to Hardin. Cold Spring beats Hardin 32-14. Anahuac falls to Hardin 33-13. I mean, basically the same score, just flipping it around, right?
So, yeah. And then you go back to the East Chambers game where, you know, yeah, Cold Spring drops to East Chambers 47-18. And then Anahuac, you know, the Swamp Bowl, of course, there was a lot of emotions in that game and stuff going on, but 53-48,
right,
the final for that one.
Yeah, so then you look at the Orangefield game, and yeah, Anahuac gets shut out 38-0, and Cold Spring plays Orangefield, the tightest game they've had all year, 28-26 final. So you can't sit there and go off of the scores and say, oh, well, Cold Spring ought to win this, or Anahuac ought to win this. You just can't do it. So that's why this game is your 5-9 Sports Show game of the week. And
I gotta think about it hard.
I know it's very difficult. Get it pulled up. I got Cold Spring losing by 15. Now, here's the question. Oh, Miguel Martinez says horns up over there for Hampshire Finette. He's watching in on the 5-9 Sports Show. So they're on Facebook Live. I'll go first. We don't know what kind of – there's a lot of unknowns, right, going into this game. I can only assume – that Brady Barrier is going to be healthy 65-70%. I don't feel like he's going to be 100%. I watched some film of Anahuac and Hardin that game, with Anahuac Sports Live, and the blind side of Brady Barrier. If Cold Springs runs the right defense, you got Caden Barton over there on the right side, and he's an absolute animal. I watched Hardin last week run to that side defensively when Caden Barton wasn't in there and was very successful. But when they put number 9 in, they started running the ball the other direction. Even said it in the broadcast. You'll remember that, correct?
Right.
So I can say I feel like that they are going to have Caden Barton in there. He's going to be starting, and they're going to make a statement out of this game, or try to. And if Anahuac doesn't have any better blocking on that left side of the offensive line, Caden Barton is going to have Brady Barrier in the turf all night long. He'll probably have more sacks. He could have more sacks Thursday night than he's ever had in his career. With that being said, I'm going to go with Cold Spring in this football game. I think it's going to be a 21-14 football game.
It's kind of a low-scoring football game.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm obviously going to go the opposite way, and I have to. And it's not that.
Go back and look at how many times I went against Cold Spring and they won.
That's very true. But at the same time, I mean, I know that. Still know what kind of talent Anahuac has. I mean, despite the being banged up as hard as they are, with their back against the wall, the way that it is, it's a must win. It's basically win or go home. And I feel like that they have the ability. And so I'm going to go Anahuac. I think that, I mean, as far as a passing team goes, who do you think that is the most pass-heavy team that y'all have seen all season?
I mean, honestly, I don't think we've seen a true pass-heavy team other than Anahuac. I know Brady Barrier up against East Chambers, even with a bum leg, put 367 yards in the air, and we haven't seen anything like that. I know that number five is going to be out for Anahuac for the first two quarters of that game. Plus, y'all are shy running backs. I think that's going to be a big factor in the game. I don't think getting five back in the second half is going to go in and be able to win that football game. I do give y'all a little home field advantage there, but that's why I got it a 21-14 game versus Cold Spring. If y'all were here at the house, at our house, that's kind of why I went that direction. Sure. I feel like it's going to be a tight game. I don't feel like it's going to be a blowout. I feel like it's going to be a struggle. But so with saying that is I feel like our Cold Spring's defensive backs are good enough to at least be disruptive. In the passing game, I don't think that y'all have seen anybody that has the speed in the secondary that Cold Spring has.
Yeah, I would think that aside from Harden or maybe East Chambers, as far as speed is concerned, that's as close as it's going to get. Brady Barrier, 160 of 238, 2,430 yards, 22 touchdowns on the season. I've got to go Anahuac. I mean, I've got to stay hometown. I'm going to say that it's going to be a 36-28 ball game.
Still a close game, but just a little higher scoring for yeah. Trent Hart on the with the Anahuac Panthers over the Cold Spring Trojans is what he's picking here. And the final pick in the game of the week on the 590 Sports Show, y'all get in Monday morning at 8 a.m. This will be up. And y'all be able to comment, put your picks in there this week, and join in on the Pick'ems contest. And then we'll be able to celebrate the winner of the Pick'ems next week here on the 590 Sports Show as we get ready to talk playoff football. So great show this week. Toby Tullis was out, had some work he had to get taken care of, got a lot of rain coming in. So they got guys calling him and trying to get him set up. With Bullfrog Environmental, taking care of that erosion control. And if you have any erosion control needs, y'all look my boy up. Y'all give O'Toby a call, and he'll be glad to help you out. Probably the best customer service that you're going to get in the environmental field, such as erosion controls and stuff. But y'all give him a call at 936-672-3744. And he'll get you taken care of, whether it's a new installation, new house that y'all are getting ready to build and y'all are fixing to scrape it off and get ready to go. Or if it's something existing that's going on, y'all give Toby a call over there at Bullfrog Environmental. So that's going to be a wrap for the 590 Sports Show. For Trent Hart, I'm Craig Irwin. We will see you at the game.